Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Matthew chapter 1 and 23. I want to talk this morning just for a little bit on Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, here's what the Bible says. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Everybody say that with me. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Say that again. God with us. Now here in Matthew, the writer is quoting a passage of scripture which Isaiah prophesied some 700 years earlier. He would be born of a virgin, and that his name would be called Emmanuel. We would refer to him as Emmanuel, God with us. And what's interesting to me as we look at this scripture this morning is that he would use the word, or he would prophesy Emmanuel, God with us, because in Isaiah 66 and 1, he wrote this himself. He said, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. You see, Isaiah had already, he had received a revelation that God is everywhere. He already understood that. Jeremiah 23 and 23 says, I am God near at hand and I'm not far off. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord. Notice this, do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord. Isaiah knew this. He knew that the earth was filled, not only created by God, but it was filled with God's presence. Nowhere could we hide, but that God would not be there. The psalmist wrote it this way, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. So we can see the evidence of God's presence, his omnipresence, everywhere at the same time. And so it's kind of interesting that he would prophesy that they would say, Emmanuel, God with us. Now the difference that he saw prophetically, even though God had created everything and was everywhere, was this. Never before had God been man. Now, this is no small task. We really have to take a moment and really try to comprehend, if we can, this idea of God becoming man. 100% God, yet 100% man. Never before had this happened. Never before had God stepped on the earth in the form of a man. This is big news. Never before had he stepped on the earth in such a fragile way. To put on humanity, you know the things that we face. Sickness, disease, hard times, heartaches, financial difficulties, struggles. Everywhere that we turn, sometimes it seems as though we face another dilemma. And so it's amazing that God would leave perfection, clothe himself with humanity, and come to the earth and submit himself to the frailty of mankind. That's amazing when you think about it. And so you have to ask the question, why would he submit himself to such frailty? Why would he go to such lengths to do this? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. One thing that I want us to make sure that we understand, Not only for today, but as we go into 2009, that God is a giver. Some people concentrate so much, and they have preached so long, and they have lived their life like God is a taker, and that all he wants to do is set up these rules by which we, every time we make a mistake, we step out of line. He's there to smack us around. That's all God is there for. But trust me, if that was the case, we'd be a lot more bruised today than we are. We'd be a lot more messed up than we are if that was God's intention. But the Bible says that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Why did he give his son? The Bible says that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a thought. That he would leave his throne of glory, don upon himself the frailty of man so that we could live. You see, when Adam and Eve was created back in the garden, everything was perfect. There was perfect fellowship. There was no barriers, if you will, between God and between man. The Bible says that in the cool of the evening that God himself would come down and would visit with Adam and Eve. Can you imagine? But there came a day when sin crept in, and that sin created a barrier between that perfect fellowship. And so from that time until when Jesus died on the cross, that fellowship was not there like it had been. God's original intention, you see. God wanted to restore that fellowship so much that the Bible says that he gave his one and only son for you and for me. When you think of sin, it's not a God problem. James said that God is not tempted by sin, nor does he tempt anyone with sin. So because God is not tempted by evil, it's not a God issue. The reality is it's a human issue. And so it had to be dealt with from a human perspective. We're not only capable of sinning, but the Bible says that we are born in sin. And so in order to overcome this sin that we are faced literally with every day, Jesus became Emmanuel, God with us. 100% God, but at the same time, 100% man. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." Notice that, under sin and under the law, the restrictions of the law. And here is why, verse 5, "to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as son." You see, this isn't just God being with us in the sense that he is everywhere or that he is omnipresent. But this is God actually being us. He himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, actually stepping on this earth as you and as me. To me, that speaks volumes about the true love that God really does have for mankind. His real desire. He would go to such lengths to restore that fellowship that he literally would give his life. He would suffer an amazing death. And I mean, just to die on a cross in itself, let alone the beating and all the things that he took so that that restoration of fellowship would take place. That is an amazing thing to me. So God with us is significant because he actually became a man to restore fellowship and overcome sin. But also, it is significant because when Jesus actually took on the form of a man, he actually experienced life as we experience life. Hebrews 4 and 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest," this is talking of Jesus, "who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." In other words, Jesus faced the temptation to sin and to do wrong. He faced hard times. The Bible very clearly says, he said, "I have no place where I can lay my head." Didn't have a home. He traveled basically from house to house, town to town. Sometimes went without food. He understands the temptation to walk away from his calling. In the garden, he said, "Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me." Suffering so much and under such great pressure on his life that history records that he actually was sweating drops of blood. The pressure that was on him. And so he understands life. Because he experienced it as we have and as we do. He knew what it was like to be ridiculed by his family, rejected by friends. He knew what it was like to face hard times. And so because he experienced life as we do and he overcame the obstacles that we face, we can put our confidence in him. If I was to go out with Arlie on a job, never before had done anything that he does for a living every day. I can put confidence in his knowledge of what he does because he has done it before. He tells me to do something, and I say, I don't know about that. Well, see, I've never done it before. You understand what I'm saying? But Arlie says, oh, it'll be all right. I've done this 1,000 times. You see, when Jesus leads us along in our life, we can have confidence. It may not look just right for us. It may not be comfortable. It may stretch us. But we have someone leading us who has gone before us. And he says, it'll be all right. Just trust me. Just trust me. Emmanuel, God with us. Can you imagine? Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you'll have peace. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation. We talked about that last week, pressure. How many had pressure this week? Come on now. I mean, look around. Look at all the hands. Had a little bit of pressure this week. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation or pressure. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Bless the name of the Lord. You see, through Christ, we can not only make it, or what I like to call survive. I'm just trying to survive. How many of you ever been there? Isn't it nice when you just get over that surviving part and you can coast for a little while? Huh? Sometimes it's nice to coast for a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. But through Christ, we can not only make it, but we can be a successful and a prosperous Christian, because that is God's will for our lives. So because Jesus became Emmanuel, or God with us, because he came to the earth, he left us with an amazing promise found in John 14 and 16. And here's what he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power. Now, some people, they look at what we would call the Pentecostal movement, and they shy away because of fanaticism or because of fear of the unknown. What we have to understand, and this is just a natural part of the progression for the Christian, in order for us to be successful in our lives. We want to be successful, don't we? Sure we do. And so this was Jesus telling them. He said, okay, now you've received me. There's something else that needs to take place. I'm going to send that. When I go to the Father, then he'll send a comforter, someone who will be your helper, someone who will lead you into truth, will guide you, and will help you every step of the way. There again, even though he was leaving, still God is with us through the Holy Spirit. What a mighty blessing we have. John 14 and 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he'll bring to remembrance the things that I've told you. See, the Holy Spirit has been sent here to be our comfort, to be our helper, not only in times of trouble, but at all times. I'm thankful for the scripture that says that the Lord, he is an ever-present help in time of trouble. But I'm glad, I don't have any idea how many times he saved me from trouble, because he's with me. He surrounds me. He cares for me. He leads me and guides my steps. You know, God with us. You understand what I'm talking about? This is part of God being with us, not only 2,000 years ago, but right now.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.